Well, I mentioned before that it is Shabbat Shuvah, which traditionally in the old world was one of only two times when the rabbi would actually preach and give a sermon. The other was right before Pesach to teach everybody all the laws of keeping kosher. And the other was this Shabbat Shuvah so that I could stand up here and say, repent, repent, repent. I've been tempted to do that and then just go sit down and we'd be all set. But we have a lot of that during the High Holy Days as well, and fire and brimstone sermons, as much as I'd like to do, that isn't exactly my style. Instead, for Shabbat Shuvah, I like to tell a story. And there's one in particular that I tend to tell on this particular Shabbat. So you may have heard this from me already, but the message is appropriate, and I will tell it to you once again. And I'll let you find the High Holy Day moral that is in it. Two things you need to know before it, because it's a story from the old world. One is slichot. Slichot means forgiveness. Right? It is the name of a set of prayers. We do a slichot service the Saturday night before Rosh Hashanah. That's part of the Jewish calendar. But actually, in some communities, they insert special slichot prayers of forgiveness for the whole month leading up to the high holidays. That's one thing to know. The second thing to know is, what's a litvak? Anybody know what a litvak is? Matt knows what a litvak is. What's a litvak, Matt? What do you think? Jew from the origin of Lithuania, exactly right. And in the old world, around the 1800s or a little earlier, a little later, there were basically two types of Jews. There were the Jews who had gotten caught up in the Hasidic fervor of a lot of emotion and swaying and singing and dancing. And then there were those who weren't so caught up in that. The little more staid and legalistic and rigid, and we're going to say these prayers and I'm not feeling anything, but we're going to do it. That's the litvak, right? The reputation of the Lithuanian Jews was very studious. A lot of our great yeshivas and great scholars came from there on the one hand, and the Hasidim were the joyful, happy ones on the other side. So the story is called If Not Higher by Y.L. Peretz, who was a classic Yiddish writer. And he writes the story called If Not Higher. During the month before Rosh Hashanah, there is a custom for Jews to get up early to say slichot, prayers asking for forgiveness from God. And every Friday morning during these prayers, the rabbi of Nemiroff would disappear. He would simply vanish. He was nowhere to be seen, not in the synagogue, not the house of study. He was certainly not at home. His door stood wide open. Whoever wished could go in and come out. No one would steal from the rabbi. But there was not a living creature inside. Where could the rabbi be? Where should he be? He must surely be up in heaven. A rabbi has plenty of business just before the high holy days. Jews, God bless them, need a living, peace, health, good matches for marriage. They try their best to be good, but it isn't so easy. Our sins are so many. Who can help us if not the rabbi going up to heaven to plead on our behalf? That's what the people thought. Well, one day a litvak heard the people talking about the rabbi of Nemiroff being up in heaven, and he laughed. You know the litvaks. They think little of spiritual things but stuff themselves with the laws of Talmud. So this litvak points to a passage in the law where it says, not even Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses our teacher, did not ascend to heaven in his lifetime, but he remained suspended 2.5 feet below. Go argue with the litvak. So where can the rabbi be if not in heaven? That's not my business, said the litvak, shrugging. Yet all the while, what can a litvak do? He is scheming to figure it out. That same night, right after the evening prayers, the litvak sneaks into the rabbi's room, slides under the rabbi's bed, and waits. He'll watch all night and discover where the rabbi vanishes during the slichot prayers of forgiveness. Now, someone else might have gotten drowsy and fallen asleep, but a litvak is never at a loss. He recites an entire book of Talmud by heart just to keep awake. At dawn, he hears the calls for prayers. The rabbi has already been awake for a long time. The litvak has heard him groaning for a whole hour. Whoever has heard the rabbi of Nemiroff groan knows how much suffering, how much sorrow for Israel lies in each groan. Your heart could break just hearing it, but a litvak is made of iron. He listens and remains where he is. The rabbi, long life to him, lies on the bed and the litvak under the bed. Then the Litvak hears the bed and the house begin to creak. He hears people jumping out of their beds, mumbling a few Jewish words, pouring water on their heads, hands banging doors. Everyone has left. It is quiet and dark again. Afterwards, the Litvak admitted that when he found himself alone with the rabbi, a great fear took hold of him. Goose pimples spread across his skin. To be alone with the rabbi at the time of Slichot prayers? But a Litvak is stubborn, so he quivered like a fish in water, but remained where he was. Finally, the rabbi gets up. First, he says the morning blessings. Then he goes to the closet, and he takes out a bundle of peasant clothes, linen trousers, high boots, a coat, a big felt hat, a long, wide leather belt studded with brass nails. The rabbi gets dressed in these unusual clothes. From his coat pocket dangles the end of a heavy peasant rope. The rabbi goes out and the Litvak follows him. On the way, the rabbi stops in the kitchen, bends down, takes an axe from under the bed, puts it in his belt, and leaves the house. The Litvak trembles, but he continues to follow. You can feel the approach of the holy days. There's a hushed awe hanging over the dark streets. Every once in a while, a cry can be heard from a prayer minion where the Slichot prayers are being said, or maybe from a sick bed. The rabbi stays to the sides of the street, keeping to the shades of the houses. He glides from house to house, and the Litvak after him. The Litvak hears the sound of his own heartbeat mingling with the sound of the rabbi's heavy steps. But he keeps on going and follows the rabbi to the very edge of town. Small wood stands behind the town. The rabbi enters the wood. He takes 30 or 40 steps and stops by a small tree. The Litvak, overcome with amazement, watches the rabbi take the axe out of his belt and strike the tree. He hears the tree creak and fall. The rabbi chopped the tree into logs and the logs into sticks. Then he makes a bundle of the wood and he ties it with the rope in his pocket. He puts the bundle of wood on his back, shoves the axe back into his belt, and he returns to the town. He stops at a back street beside a small broken down shack and knocks at the window. "Who is there?" asks a frightened voice. The Litvak recognizes it is the voice of a sick Jewish woman in town. "I," answers the rabbi in the accent of a peasant. "Who is I?" Again, the rabbi answers in Russian, "Vasil." "Who is Vasil and what do you want?" "I have wood to sell, very cheap." And not waiting for the woman's reply, he enters the house. The Litvak sneaks in after him. In the gray light of the early morning, he sees a poor room with broken, miserable furniture. A sick woman wrapped in rags lays on the bed. She complains bitterly, "Buy? How can I buy? Where will a poor widow get the money?" "I'll lend it to you," answers the rabbi disguised as Vasil the peasant. "It's only 6 cents." "How will I ever pay you back?" asks the poor woman, groaning. "Foolish one," says the rabbi. "See, you are a poor sick Jew, and I am ready to trust you with a little wood. I'm sure you'll pay. While you have such a great and mighty God, and you don't trust God for 6 cents?" "Who will kindle the fire?" asked the widow. "Have I the strength to get up? My son has gone to work." "I'll kindle the fire," answers the rabbi. As the rabbi puts the wood into the oven, he recites in a groan the first part of the Slichot prayers, asking God's forgiveness. As he kindled the fire and the wood burned brightly, he recited a bit more joyously the second part of the Slichot prayer. And when the fire was set, he recited the third part, and then he shut the stove. The Litvak, who saw all this, was so moved that he became a follower of that rabbi. And from that day forth, when any of the people would tell how the rabbi of Nemirov goes up to heaven at the time of the penitential prayers, the Litvak wouldn't laugh. He would only add quietly, "If not higher." On this Shabbat Shuva, the Sabbath of turning and returning, we pray, O God, that you will help us Turn towards our better selves as we make our way towards Yom Kippur. Shabbat Shalom.